Now we're going to the medical front, where we're going to take a look at two diseases where there are some great hopes given developments against prostate cancer and Alzheimer's, two diseases that have certainly stymied and frustrated doctors. And we're going to start with prostate cancer. And for that, we're going to have Dr. Anthony D'Amico join us. He's a professor and chief of radiation oncology at the Dana-Farber and Brigham Hospital, and that would be in Boston. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
So tell us about this new treatment for prostate cancer that is triggering such great hopes.
Well, it's called abiraterone, and it's a drug that takes the hormone that feeds prostate cancer, called testosterone, down to a zero level in the body. It's more effective than any other hormonal therapy in bringing testosterone levels down than we've ever had before. And there is promise that this may even be able to help men whose prostate cancer has left the prostate and spread to the bone.
Doctor, that almost sounds like a miracle.
Well, they don't come too often. The final word, though, will come from an international clinical trial that's being conducted currently. And it's going to enroll several hundred people from around the world to test this drug against the best drugs we currently have for advanced and metastatic prostate cancer.
Is it a little early to be making those kind of predictions, given that so far the testing has only involved a trial of 21 people in Britain?
I think what we can say so far is that this treatment is more effective than any other hormonal therapy that we have for prostate cancer in reducing testosterone down to zero. The real answer, though, will come from the large international study that's going to enroll hundreds of patients from around the world. I think the promise, though, is that we've never had a drug that's so effective in taking testosterone down to such a low level, and we know that testosterone feeds prostate cancer. So logic would have it that this probably will be at least better than the best hormonal therapy we currently have.
Doctor, what's the potential that this could replace the complicated and sometimes very, very difficult and debilitating surgical therapies that victims of prostate cancer often face?
I think that's not likely, because this medicine is really geared at cancers that are more advanced, already beyond what surgery could handle. So the less advanced cancers would probably still be handled with surgery or radiation, but the more advanced cancers may be handled with this drug.
There's also been reports that the mechanism that allows the testosterone to be cut off is also being looked at in breast cancer and trying to figure out whether or not you could apply it to the estrogen, which feeds breast cancer.
Exactly. This whole thing is based on a chemical pathway. And the difference between this drug and other drugs that are used to treat prostate cancer is this one stops testosterone delivery or function at step one. The same thing could be thought about in terms of estrogen production in breast cancer, if you could stop it earlier in its path.
Well, sometimes therapies relate to specific pathways and strategies that are well-known hormonal strategies here in prostate cancer, which is what the doctor is talking about. Joining us now is Dr. Samuel Gandy, who's Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Alzheimer's Disease Research Center and Chair of the National Medical and Scientific Advisory Council of the Alzheimer's Association. He has some information about a drug which wasn't particularly known for being a therapy for Alzheimer's, which is suddenly showing great promise there. An old Russian antihistamine has made its way back onto the medical market to treat Alzheimer's. Dr. Gandy, thanks for joining us, and explain how this works.
Good morning. Thanks for your interest. This is a drug called Dimebon, spelled D-I-M-E-B-O-N, and had in its previous clinical use been used to treat hay fever in Russia, as you said, an antihistamine, something you would never think of as improving brain function because they tend to be sedating and could cause confusion in the elderly. But a Russian scientist was seeking a medicine that would potentially mimic some of the existing Alzheimer drugs. And in that pursuit, he hit upon this medicine that seemed to help brain function or help behavior in mouse memory or rat memory studies. And that's how the whole thing started.
And now you're in a phase three clinical trial of a off-label use. I mean, the drug is already approved as an antihistamine, but this would be an attempt to get it officially approved as an Alzheimer's treatment.
Well, it's not approved in this country for as an antihistamine. That's a Russian approval. So it's not something you can go out and buy right now. But yes, it looked very promising in a phase two trial that was done in Russia, but directed by American neuropsychologists and Alzheimer experts. And this medicine, the Demabon, showed an increase in cognitive function, improvement in memory in the first few months, and then stabilization, which seemed to persist for up to a year. Now, we typically see medicines that have an initial bump upward, but then the slope of decline parallels that of the control group. That is, they sort of set the clock back 6 months, but then they begin declining at the same rate. This seemed to stabilize the rate at a higher function than when they started.
Well, quickly to both of you, Dr. D'Amico and Dr. Gandy, I guess the story here for both of you is that sometimes drugs lead to new therapies, and sometimes therapies actually lead to new drugs. But in the case of both of these diseases, the drug is just the beginning. Dr. D'Amico?
That's correct. And what we need to discover now is whether or not this drug will lead us to, as was alluded to before, help in other areas such as breast cancer and other hormone-dependent tumors.
Dr. Gandy, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think this illustrates that in science, sometimes it's important to design a perfect experiment, and sometimes it's important to recognize something significant when you just stumble onto it.
So the combination of stumbling and paying attention scientifically has produced some very powerful results this morning for us. Dr. Samuel Gandy is Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, and Dr. Anthony D'Amico is Professor-in-Chief of Genitourinary Radiation Oncology at Dana-Farber and Brigham Hospital. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Boy, that was interesting.
It is, and it sounds promising.
It sounds promising on both levels. And, you know, it really is going back to our mission to catch scientists in the act, as you like to say. It's one part stumbling and being attentive to what's actually working, and another part methodically, strategically going after a goal that you know might work.
And I'm not sure that journalists often show restraint in those headlines. Doctors qualify everything,
yeah,
right? They say,
do.
This is the first step. This is the first step to understanding the mechanism and this mechanism, and then we got to go to the next step, and then we go to the next step afterwards. So we will check in with them again and
Absolutely.
See how those drugs are working.
Yes, very, very interesting. All right, we're taking a look at the future of the electric car here on The Takeaway. The 500th issue of X-Men goes on sale today. What superpower do you want? Business schools turn to hand scans to prevent cheating. Is that going to work? When do you cheat? Come on. We've been asking you all morning, and you're not coming through.
We're also asking you about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Our friend Dana Franchitto, he weighed in. Is it socialism or what? What the Congress is debating today about helping those two mortgage giants out with.
The bailout of these big financial markets by the government is capitalism at its most hypocritical. What they're doing here is privatizing their gains and socializing their losses. And these are the people who are always telling us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps.
Well, Dana has a point there.
Takeaway for me is I learned my co-host wants to control the weather.
I love weather.
No, you can sign up for our weekly email newsletter and find out what weather Adora is making anywhere in your town. It's all at www.thetakeaway.org. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji.